Please turn back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 passage today. Think about this for a moment. One day, we will see God's face. Just think about that for a minute. We will see God's face in the face of Jesus Christ. What a day that will be. As I worked on this sermon this week, I encountered the work of a Serbian conceptual artist, which I didn't even know what that was. And her name is Marina Abramovic. She is generally, the article said, she includes performance art in what she does. And she seeks to promote, I quote, a sense of humanity in her observers. At the height of her fame in 2010, Abramovic did a show titled The Artist is Present. And so she was very popular. Masses of people bought tickets to go see her show. It was at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And they were unaware about what they were going to see. Normally, she would write the programs or write the plays or however you want to say it. But this time, she would be in it. People arrived and onlookers and admirers found just two wooden chairs facing each other with a wooden table in between. The viewers would enter and they would be asked one at a time to actually come up on the stage. She would sit at the table and someone would sit on the other side of the table in one of the chairs, and they would just stare into each other's face. That was the program. No words, no gestures, just two people face to face. The responses, as you can imagine, were quite different. It ranged from people having awkward laughter in front of everybody else, not knowing how to respond. There were people who were discomforted by the whole thing, upset by it. Some people were downright confused and didn't know what to make of it. But the vast majority of people that followed her and really admired her, it brought them to tears and overwhelming emotion just to look into her face. Bart Millard wrote a song. He's the lead singer for Mercy Me. He talks about the same experience from a spiritual perception. He says, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine, listen, what my eyes will see when your face is in front of me. I can only imagine. Again, seeing God, seeing his face. Varied responses in the song. He said, I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I'll dance when I see you. Maybe, he says, I'll be in awe. Maybe I'll stand there, or maybe I'll fall down on my knees. Maybe, he says, I just won't be able to speak at all. Seeing God's face. See, that's what we were made for. You and I were made to see God face to face. We are created for it. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 105:4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. The priestly blessing of Numbers chapter 6 and verses 24 and following. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom, give you peace. You see, without the face of God, the Bible is very explicit, and it says this, without God's face, we die. In fact, the face of God, you could look at it this way, becomes the entire storyline of the Bible. In the Old Testament, when you looked at God's face, if you looked at God's face as a sinful human being, you would die. And the Bible says that we see God's face differently now because we have seen the transfiguration. We have seen God's face in the face of Jesus Christ. He even says himself, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, it says in the Bible, now humans can see God's face and not die, but live. Actually live out the purpose for which they were created. It's such a profound shift. Humans first lived face to face with God, but we forfeited that privilege when we sinned. It was lost. After the fall, humans die when they look at God's face. But that all has changed since we can see the face of God in the face of Jesus. The Mount of Transfiguration, we might say reverently, is this: the artist is present. You see, the purpose of the transfiguration that we looked at last week is not just to tell us about who Jesus is, although that's true. He has superior glory. He has superior authority. But it's also to tell us who we are. And this is what we are. We are God reflectors. Theologian Patrick Schreiner says, the purpose of the transfiguration is not only beholding the glory of God through Jesus Christ, but also to be transformed by beholding it. In other words, our future is revealed in what we will be when we see the face of Jesus. Listen to 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him, his face, as he is. You see what John has connected? Looking at him makes us like him. See, looking at him will make us look like him. Beholding, the Bible says, is a way of becoming. You become what you behold. You look like whatever you look like or look at, you look like. That's not hard for us to understand, because in our culture, we see it happen all the time. Suicide clusters, people committing suicide because someone in their closest circle, they see them do it and they do it as well. Copycat crimes. You know, when we grow up as a child, we look and see our parents and we mimic what they do. And sometimes we wish they didn't, but we do. They do. They see us and they act like us. They pick up our habits, our inflections, the things that we say and the things that we do. See, the principle of what you look at will determine what you look at like is in the scriptures as well. Israel had come to Mount Sinai. They'd been delivered from Egypt, and they spent about a year there. And in that time, Moses ascends to the top of Mount Sinai, and while he's there, he gets God's law. And when he descends from the mountain, he comes down, and he sees Israel worshiping a golden calf. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why a golden calf? Because Israel is reflecting the worship that they had just seen in Egypt. What they looked at, they became like. Many years later, Israel was divided. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom was led by Jeroboam. And at that time, they didn't have a place to worship under his rule. And so he made two of them, one in Dan and one in Bethel. He built two places to worship. And inside those two temples, he put two golden calves. And you have to ask again, why? Because he had just got back from being exiled in Egypt by Solomon. And the reason is because it is what he had seen there. What he looked at, he was becoming like. See, last week we said, look at him, Jesus in his glory. We said, listen to him. This week I want to say, look like him. That's our desire, to look like him. Anselm said this: Jesus gave a preview of his own glory and the glory of his own. Last week we saw God's glory. Today I want to show you your glory, your transfiguration. So let me unpack it. Our spiritual metamorphosis one at a time. Just two questions today. That's all I want to do. Number one, what is spiritual metamorphosis? If you look at our verse in chapter 3 and verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being, that's our word, transfigured. We are being transformed, metamorphosis. You know, the caterpillar to the butterfly, that kind of change. That's what the word is talking about. Two of these times it's used, metamorphosis, are the two gospel references to the Mount of Transfiguration, one of which we talked about last week. The other two, the first two talk about Jesus being transfigured. The last two are talking about us being transformed or transfigured. And that's why I had you read those two texts today. Those are the two texts that talk about you and I as Christians being transformed. But we all, with unveiled face, we behold, see, looking intently, gazing at, not a glance, but someone looking hard into, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. The Mount of Transfiguration does two things. It looks back to Moses and it looks forward to Jesus. Moses is the archetype or the prototype of transfiguration. When he was in the presence of God on the mountain, his face shined. It was reflecting the glory of God. But that glory in Moses, if you read all of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it faded. Because the law which he gave was temporary. And so every time he'd come out of God's presence, eventually he put a veil over his face. Because he didn't want the children of Israel to see that the glory was fading. It was veiled. Oh, but see, we come to Jesus and it's completely different. See, he doesn't just reflect the glory of God. He is the glory of God. And that's why Paul says, we all with unveiled face. See, when we come into God's presence and we see his face in the face of Jesus Christ, the glory that emanates from it is not temporary, it's permanent. It doesn't fade away. And the reason is because Jesus is the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, today we see God's glory and we reflect it from Jesus. I think the best example of that is Stephen. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, he was giving an apologetic for Jesus, truthfully, in front of all the religious leaders. And the Bible says in Acts 6:15, listen to this, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Oh, see, he was reflecting the glory of God. And to prove that that was because he was like Jesus, at the end of the text, when he is martyred and stoned for his faith, he says things just like Jesus when he died. He received his spirit. Don't hold this against them. See, he was just, in fact, when he's dying, a vision of Jesus himself standing at God's right hand appears to him. Why? Because when you are seeing Jesus, Stephen wants us to know, you become like him. But see, the great thing about it is, look what Paul says in our verse. We all. See, in the Old Testament, only Moses' face shone like that. Because he could get close to God. Only Peter, James, and John got close on the Mount of Transfiguration. See, Stephen's face tells us a new message. You know what it is? That we all can reflect his glory. Not just Moses. Not just a great prophet. Not Peter, James, and John, one of the disciples. You know what? We can. We all can. Because of Jesus, now Stephen, who was just a deacon in the church, says this, you as a Christian can and must reflect the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You have a permanent glory. You this morning, listen, you are being transformed. Today, whether you recognize it or not as a Christian, you are being transfigured. So let me say this statement to you. I set the table a little bit. Let me say this to you. If you are a Christian, you are being transformed. Today, listen, if you are here today and you are not a Christian, you are being transformed. See, because beholding is a way of becoming. Everyone in this room today, everyone, is looking at something. You are looking at something, and what you are looking at, you will become like it. You are mirroring it, is the idea. You look into a mirror, and you are giving off the reflection of what you look at. And the choices are two. You can look through the world's mirror and reflect the world, or you can look through God's mirror and reflect his son, Jesus. He says to us in verse 18, beholding the glory of God, you're looking at it. The question this morning is not if you are looking, but what or who you are looking at. Parents, what your kids look at, they will look like. If you read the recent news about TikTok, for national security reasons, they say, in about 6 months, they're going to ban it from America. They passed a bill that went to the House of Representatives, and they overwhelmingly passed it. They're going to go to the Senate to get it all done. And the response has been this, and I read two articles. There are numerous teens who said this, that if you ban TikTok, we will kill ourselves. TikTok is seen by many as affecting young people in a negative way. Obviously, that has been proven. But looking at it, hours a day, 7, 8, 9 hours a day, looking at it, the 2 minutes between classes in school, because you can't go a minute literally without being bored. Because of it or without it, the fear is a great cause of anxiety, depression, and that some will actually take up their threat. What you look at, you will look like. Look at the magazine covers of today that our kids are looking at, and us as adults even at times. See, you look at that, oh, that's what I should look at. The pressure of being that thin, that beautiful, that popular, that successful, that rich. Look at Instagram. It's no wonder why some of our teens wear the clothes they do, talk the way they do, listen and look at things the way that they do. Why immodesty is no longer a virtue, even in Christianity. Number one, now we have to show off our body because we are competing with everyone else around us. See, they are being transformed. Transformed by social media, by a Christless culture. We are being transformed. We look into the world's mirror and we reflect the world's morals. Probably the worst areas that we are looking at the wrong places involve sexuality, gender, and morality. We are being transformed. One way or another, what you look at, you will look like. See, but Paul says this. As Christians, we are being transformed, not into the image of the world, but the image of Jesus. And it is a verb with continual action. It is a process, a lifelong journey, not something that just happens when we die. The metamorphosis is not primarily now for us any bodily change at all. No, it's completely different. See, our change is from the inside out. We see are starting now to be changed. So we keep looking at Jesus, and we keep looking more like Jesus. The two go together. Can I tell you this? If you're a Christian, they cannot be separated. Your future transformation, which is bodily, is vitally connected to your present transformation, which is spiritually. You cannot, hear me, you cannot hope that you will have a future transformation if you are not having a present one now. The Bible is very explicit and clear that our transformation is holistic, not one without the other, but both. Your present transformation is what looks forward to your future transformation. In 3:18, he says, here's what's being done in you. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. What image? He doesn't leave us hanging. 4:4 reads this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Listen. Jesus is the standard of what we look at. Not social media. Not anything that's on the internet. Jesus is the standard. He is it. Not sports heroes, not celebrities, not people from Hollywood, not people who are influencers on the internet. None of those things. You know why it's important? Because this is so absolutely necessary to grasp, because Satan is at work. Do you understand the magnitude of what Paul is saying? Listen to what he says in 4:4. He says, Satan himself, he didn't send someone else to do it. The God of this world has blinded people's eyes. 15% of everyone who has an eye disorder has what's called unilateral blindness. In the hospital, they would say NLP, no light perception. There is no light getting in, not a little bit. There are some people who have degrees of blindness where they get a small amount of light. They can't see everything clearly, but they see some things, especially if they're up closer. But no light perception means that you are in complete darkness. See, that's what's spiritually happening in our culture, in the lives of those who don't know Christ, and perhaps the lives of some here today, including your children. No light perception, darkness. That's what we have. Complete blindness to the light of the gospel that is in the face of Jesus Christ. It is soul-destroying darkness. But yet somehow we continue to let them watch it. We don't monitor it. We don't look at it. We're not sure what's going on. And we ourselves participate in it. You know how dark it is and how devastating and how dangerous it is? Chapter 4 and verse 6 of 2 Corinthians says this: for it to change, for it to not continue to happen, to have a metamorphosis in your life, it takes an act of God equal to what he did when he created the world. When he made everything out of nothing, that's the power it takes. He says, let light shine out of darkness. If God has to command it by his power, because otherwise it doesn't exist in us. Darkness, he says. That's what, but to get light in your heart, to shine there, to reflect there, it takes supernatural power. So what is metamorphosis? It's a transformation for those who have seen the face of Jesus, that he is God for who he is, and they believe in him, that he has died for them and rose again. It's a continual lifelong looking that changes us to become more and more and more like him. There are too many of people who profess to know God, who say they have seen his face, but have not been transfigured by it. So how do I know, Pastor Walker? How would I know if I'm being metamorphosized, if I'm being transfigured? How does spiritual metamorphosis happen? Let me show you two things and I'll be done. Jesus' transformation shows outwardly. We saw that on the Mount last week. His face shined, his clothes shined, everything about him physically changed on the outside. In contrast to that, our transfiguration now is one that's inward. Jesus's transfiguration shines on his face. Our transfiguration shines in our lives. There are a number of statements in our text, one being chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 in our text in 2 Corinthians. And it says this: you know what changes about us? He says, our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed. Can I tell you this? Metamorphosis, spiritual metamorphosis, is an inside job. Listen to what he says. Your inner self. Chapter 4, verse 6. The light is commanded to shine in the darkness of our hearts on the inside. Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the same word. Transfigured. What? By the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosis, you know how it happens? From the inside out. You become a whole new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, holistically, a complete new creation. That's how we're viewed. We are not people who change on the outside. It's not modification of your behavior. It is not stapling on good habits or virtues on the outside of your life so that you can be more acceptable religiously. Metamorphosis is completely different. It's a new person, it has a new heart and a new mind, a completely different way of thinking about the world. That's why when lost people talk to Christians, they think they're crazy, because their mindset and their heart and everything about them is contrary to what they know and experience. See, Jesus' transfiguration was outward. It was his physical body that changed, because he was already perfect on the inside. Us, the opposite. Our transfiguration is inward. By that I mean this: it's spiritual, moral, emotional, mental. So I would say this: spiritual metamorphosis is a call to stop mirroring the world and start mirroring Jesus. And can I tell you, that is how you know whether you're experiencing it. Who does your life mirror? What does your life reflect? Ask yourself the question at your job, young people, the school that you go to, the people you hang around, the friends that you're closest to. Ask them this, do they see a reflection of Jesus in you or of themselves? Would they even know in any of those categories whether you're different from them or not? See, it's a call to a different morality. We are not involved in perverse sexuality, whether it comes in the form of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, watching pornography. See, we have changed that. That has been transformed in our lives. Desires that have been formed by God, deformed by Satan, have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. It's a call to a different morality, a different sexuality, which is, by the way, completely unpopular and unacceptable in our day. Satan has blinded our world. It's a call to a different mentality. John Wesley said this, transformation is the purity of intentionally dedicating all of life to God. It's giving him all of your heart. John, he would say this, from the inside out. See, it's not playing church. It's not pretending. It's not showing up well-dressed so people can think something completely opposite of what you might really be. It's not doing any of those things. Metamorphosis is a change from the inside out that's real, observable, and continual in your life. It's a call to a different emotional life, one that you're not controlled by your feelings or your situations or what everyone else is doing around you, but one that's controlled by your faith, your beliefs, your convictions, the principles that you live out based on the Word of God. It's a call, it's a spiritual change. Chapter 3, verse 18 ends, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It is God working in you, not TikTok or social media of any sort. Ask yourself this morning and be honest. Are you changing? Are you changing from the inside out? Is it observable? Have people commented on it? Not just stapling things on the outside, but holistically changing. He says this, that's when you can have the confidence of verse 18, which says, from one degree of glory to another. See, we are going from changing on the inside, and the next degree of glory will be changing on the outside. And that day I talked about at the beginning, when you see the face of God, you will change. You will be completely changed. You looked at him and you will become like him. C.S. Lewis wrote that when you see someone who has been transformed in eternity and they stand in heaven before God, if you didn't know any better, you would think that you should worship them, because of the magnitude of the transformation. Oh, that's what we have to look forward to. And that future transfiguration, that glory that will be upon us and reflected through us, starts now. It is a process that begins and continues every single day in your life until it will be completed when we see his face in person. What does that lead to, Pastor Walker? He's very clear, and with this I close. Metamorphosis leads to mission. It is not just about you changing. It is not just about you being like Jesus, although is that important? There is a means to the end, and he says in 2 Corinthians 4, he has bookends that bracket this chapter. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, we don't lose heart. In chapter 4 and verse 16, he says we don't lose heart. Lose heart about what? Giving out the gospel. Giving the good news to people. He lived in a world where nobody wanted to believe what he said. He was persecuted and all kinds of difficulties he's faced. But here's what he says. I don't lose heart. I don't quit. I don't give up. Because seeing God's glory leads to sharing God's gospel. Did you hear that? Seeing God's glory leads to sharing God's gospel. Chapter 4 and verse 3, chapter 4 and verse 4 says, listen, your eyes have been opened. You see his face. You know he's glorious and it's changing you. But what about all the people around you? What about all the people around you that are blinded and deceived and they don't see his glory? They don't understand who he really is. Paul would say this, if you are truly a light receiver, you will be a light reflector with your lips and with your lives. Paul would later comment on this very issue in Philippians chapter 2 in verses 14 and 15 when he writes to them that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. Listen, why would you be metamorphosized? Blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish. Why would you live the metamorphosized life? Why? Here's what he says. Because in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, can I say this? Because you live in 21st century America. And the vast majority of people that you rub shoulders with and come in contact with, they are crooked and twisted because they have no light. He says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Oh, we are not the source of the light. We are the reflection of it. See, we have an opportunity this Easter to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in the way that we live and how we invite people, how we love them, encourage them, and how we live before them. You can't get this phenomenon much in New Jersey because if you go outside at night, you are not really able to see a lot of the stars in the backdrop of the universe. But if you go out west in certain places, you look up in the sky and you are amazed. You're amazed. All the bright little stars against the black backdrop of the universe. It is stunning. Paul says that's what Christians are. That's what people who have received and have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you know what they are? They're little lights against the darkness and the blackness of the universe around them. Keith Green saw this before he died in a plane crash a number of decades ago. He wrote this song, and I want you to hear it as we conclude today, and then we're going to have a closing song. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. He's seen his glory. Listen, your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. See, he has looked at him. Now watch. Now he wants to look like him. And he wants to shine. It leads to mission. His next words are, I want to take your word and shine it all around. His word, not mine. But first, help me just to live it, Lord. Help me to be metamorphosized. Help me to show the change in my life. He says, and when I'm doing well, help me never to seek a crown. You know why? Because my reward is this, giving glory to you. And then he asked God for that metamorphosis to have an impact on others like that. Replace my lamp and my fire of my first love. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps that's you this morning. The metamorphosis, perhaps not that noticeable. The mission, all but absent. Face to face, that's what we will be. Can I say this? That's what we should be. And if it does, and if it's true in our lives, it will make a radical difference. It is our time, by God's grace and for his glory, to shine. Are you? Let's listen together.
Grace abounds. to me. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all. Fire that once